This week we're beginning Perek Ketzatzolin. The first few blad in the Perek discuss various details of tzli when it comes to Korban Pesach, the requirement that a Korban Pesach has to be roasted, and what constitutes tzli in that context. It emerges from the Mishnah Ayin Dalet Mem Aleph in the beginning of the Perek that first the Gemara has a drasha tzli esh v'lo tzli machmas davar acher, that the tzli, the effect of the heat on the Korban Pesach has to be totally from the heat in the oven, or from the heat that is from the roasting process, and not from anything else. So, in the context of that the Gemara brings that up in Tzli Eish V'lo Tzli Machmas Davar Acher, the Mishnah says that you can't use a Shpud Shel Mateches. You can't use a metal spit. Because the Gemara explains, Cham Iksaso Cham Kulo. If there's any heat on any part of the metal spit, then the entire metal spit conducts that heat, and that heat is imparted into the Korban Pesach, and then the Korban Pesach is going to be heated not from the roasting, which would be the outside heat, but from the spit itself, which is conducting heat and transferring heat, and that would be a violation of Tzli Eish below Tzli Machmas Davar Acher. And similarly, the Mishnah has various types of wood that are unacceptable for using as a spit for purposes of roasting the Korban Pesach, because what emerges from the Tzad HaShav of these various examples in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, the Gemara has different types of wood that are inadmissible. So the Tzad HaShav of these different types of wood is that either they have a certain amount of moisture, such that the effect of the roasting of the Korban Pesach is going to be not 100% tzli, there's going to be water, which would be bishul as well, that goes into the heating up the Korban Pesach, or either there's moisture, or in some of these examples of wood that the Gemara gives, there's crevices that contain actual water. So either the water or the moisture is going to contribute to the heating, and that it's not 100% roasted, because anytime there's any liquid medium that is contributing to the heating, that's not considered tzli. So that's the first thing you hear in the Perek, defining what is considered tzli. And daf ayin vav, there are a number of iser v'heter halachos that come up. The starting point is roasting the Korban Pesach, but there are a few halachos that are relevant to iser v'heter in general. So the Gemara has on daf ayin vav amud aleph machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether you say ilah agavar or tata agavar. So in general, there are different situations in which tam iser could be transferred from a davar ha'aser to a davar hamutar. Usually, transfer needs to take place through some kind of liquid, but there are situations in which that's not the case. The Gemara here, working off the Mishnah has a din of nataf mirotfo al acheres v'chazrei lav, that if you have dripping off the gravy onto the earthenware that the Korban Pesach is sitting in, and then it gets reabsorbed into the Korban Pesach. So that requires the Tilos Malkum, because then you have a tam iser, a tam that is not tzli, that goes back into the Korban Pesach. So working off that Mishnah, the Gemara is Malchok is Rav Shmuel about Ilad Gavar Tata Gavar. If you have a chasicha shel iser, chasicha shel heter, one on top of the other, how is tam transferred? Is tam transferred from the bottom chasicha to the top chasicha? Is tam transferred from the top chasicha to the bottom chasicha? So we assume halacha that tata gavar, and therefore, if the top chasicha is cold and the bottom chasicha is hot, whether or not the bottom chasicha is iser or heter, then there's going to be a transfer of taste from the bottom chasicha, which is hot, to the top chasicha, which is cold. If the top chasicha is hot and the bottom chasicha is cold, so then you're not going to have that degree of transfer. So all you require is a kedei klipa. There's going to be a little bit of a transfer. It's not going to go into the entire chasicha's iser, only a little bit. So then all you need is a kedei klipa. You just have to remove the top layer, the top thin layer of the chasicha. Because tata gavar would mean that the bottom chasicha cools the effect of the top chasicha, even if the top chasicha is hot, but it still is a little bit There's a little bit of infusion into the other chasicha. The Aruch HaShulchan raises the following question: this the halachas of Tata Gavar Pure Yerideya in Siman Sadi Aleph. The Aruch HaShulchan there in Siman Sadi Aleph, Os Yud Aleph and Os Yud Beis, raises a logical question. Are you going to tell me that irrespective of the size of the various chasichas, you have a very tiny chasich on the bottom and a large chasich on the top, and the tiny chasich on the bottom is hat, so that's going to ask you the entire top chasicha? Tata Garber is going to tell you that whatever size there is on the bottom is going to impart the taste of the bottom chasicha into the top chasicha, even if the top chasicha is 10 times as big as the bottom chasicha. He thinks that can't be. Logically, that doesn't make any sense. So in order to ask the question whether it logically makes sense, you have to understand what is the basis of Tata Gavar to begin with. So that's different opinions in Rishonim. The Isser V'Heter was written, one of the later Rishonim that the Ramak was extensively in Hilchas Isser V'Heter, by Rabbeinu Yonah, not the famous Rabbeinu Yonah. So in the Isser V'Heter in Siman Kaftes, he has two explanations as to why you would say Tata Gavar. One of his explanations is heat rises, that the koach of Esh, or of heat, always goes up. So Tata Gavar means that whatever is on the bottom is going to, the heat that is emitted from the bottom chasicha, if it's hot, is going to rise to the top and be imparted to the top chasicha. The Isser V'Heter, that's the second reason the Isser V'Heter. The first reason the Isser V'Heter is pressure. That if you have chasicha on the top that's pressuring the bottom chasicha, that's going to cause the heat in the bottom chasicha to rise and affect the top chasicha. So you start with the top, with the pressure from the top chasicha, and that's going to cause the bottom chasicha to have its heat rise into the top chasicha. And then the third reason we showed him, the Rashba has in the Torah Sabayis, that the Shach quotes there in Siman Sadi Aleph, is that whatever is in its place, not going anywhere, that's going to have the upper hand. But either way, according to all these reasons, the Aruch HaShulchan is bothered that there should be some degree of difference depending on the size of the chasichas. So if the cheshbon is that there's pressure from the top that goes into the bottom, so that degree of pressure may depend on the size of the top chasicha. If it's heat rises, even if heat rises, but it's only a little bit of a bottom chasicha and a larger top chasicha, is that going to ask you the entire chasicha? So because of this question, the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that the din of Tata Gavar, strictly speaking, is only true if the pieces are of equivalent kamas, if they're the same size. But if there's a big discrepancy, then you don't necessarily say Tata Gavar. That Isser V'Heter sounds like he's mefurish, not the way. That Isser V'Heter has another line in the same paragraph where he sounds pretty befeirish that even if the top chasicha is larger and the bottom chasicha smaller, you still say Tata Gavar. Then the Gemara, the bottom of Ayin Vav Mem Aleph, has another Isser V'Heter halacha, and that's Maliach Harei Kaveseach. That generally speaking, you need heat in order to transfer tam. But if you have something that is salted, so a salted food is ke'ilu, it's hot, and that's enough to transfer tam. So if you have a Maliach, that is if you have a chasichas iser that is salted, and that comes in contact with a chasichas heter. Normally speaking, if you have tzonin b'tzonin, two solid chasichas, one of iser, one of heter, they come in contact with each other, so that doesn't transfer any taste. But if the chasichas iser is maliach, if it's salted, that is a din of raseach, that's going to transfer taste. And then what emerges from the Gemara is that that's not true by any maliach. It has to have a certain level of saltiness. What the Gemara refers to as eino nachal machlas milcha. If it's so salty that it's not comfortably edible, that's the kind of salt that gives it the status of roseach. It's ge'ilu, it's heated up and can transfer taste on that basis. So machlok is Rishonim. That's also a discussion there in Siman Sadi Aleph in Yerideya. How do we define eino nachal machmas milcha? What is the cutoff in which we would invoke maliach kiroseach? And then on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, there's a sugya of Recha Milsa. So the Gemara there, what emerges from the Gemara there on Ayin Vav Amud Beis is that let's say you roast a piece of basar nevela together with a piece of basar shkuta. So you have kosher meat and you have treif meat. So if both pieces of meat, both the kosher meat and the treif meat, are kachosh, are not robust pieces of meat, they don't they don't have a tam that's going to be emitted. They're flimsy, if you will, and they don't touch each other, so there's not going to be any transfer of taste. But the Gemara's Machlokas Rav and Levi, let's say you have one piece is basar shamin, one is a nice fatty piece of meat, and the other piece is kachush. So Rav and Levi disagree. Do you say Recha Milsa, even though there's no liquid medium that's transferring the tam iser to the tam iser to the chasichas hater? If it's in the same oven, you're roasting two things in the same oven, so is there a certain amount of recha, a certain amount of literally smell, or the steam, not the steam, the smell that is emitted, if they're both in a self-contained area that could potentially transfer taste? The Rashi writes on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, Dibur Maskil Amar Lecha, that we assume lalacha like Levi, that Recha Lav Milsa, that even if you have one piece of meat that's Basar Shamin, one piece of meat that's Basar Kachush, we're not concerned of the transfer of Recha from one to the other. And Rashi thinks that's the case because he thinks that our Machlokas Rav and Levi is parallel to the Machlokas Abai V'Rava in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Samuch Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara there in Avodah Zarah, that those of us who were in Yeshiva in the program last year, we learned Masechet Avodah Zarah. So there the Gemara talks about Bastia Yisrael B'da'akum. The case there is you have a barrel of Yayin Esach. So are you allowed to make a hole in the Meguf HaChavetz, make a hole on the top of the barrel, and then put a piece of bread on and somehow dry out the smell of the Yayin Esach? So that's Machlokas Abaye V'Rava. So Rava there says it's mutter, that Recha La Milsa, we're not bothered by the smell of Yayin Nesach. So Rashi assumes that our Machlokas Rava Shmuel over here, Rava Levi over here, is the same Machlokas as Abaye V'Rava over there, Abaye V'Rava Halacha K'Rava, and just like you pass in Recha La Milsa in Avodah Zarah, Recha La Milsa over here, and we're not concerned, as long as the pieces of meat are not touching each other, we're not concerned about the fact that they're in the same oven. And Tosfos assumes that the two sugyas are not related, that the topic of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and the topic here are two different types of recha, and you could hold of one without holding of the other. It could be the case in Avodah Zarah is more chamor, because over there your mom is smelling the iser itself, the Ayin Esach itself, and here no one's smelling anything. We're just talking about whether there's some transfer of reyach from one piece of meat to the other piece of meat. And the other direction, maybe the Avodah Zarah case is more kal, because there the smell is going to be detrimental. You don't want the smell to affect the bread, so maybe that's not going to create an iser. The Tosfos thinks that the two sugyas are unrelated. Even if you pass them like Rav in the Avodah Zarah context, you can pass them like Rav over here, and therefore Recha Milsa. And Tosfos over here in our sugya has another carve out, that even if you assume that Recha Milsa, that's only talking about a much more self-contained, restrictive oven. But our ovens of Tosfos are bigger. And therefore, Tosfos says that you could cook bread with problematic pashtid in the same oven, because our ovens are, here Tosfos writes, our ovens are well covered. Tosfos Mazar writes that the top of the oven is opened up. Shulchan Aruch, both of these appear as either or. Lemaisa, that's the machlokas of Bechaber the Rama, whether at least a lichachila do we assume Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa. So the Mechaber paskin straight Recha Lav Milsa, as long as you have, and if you have a ton of God, there's something to worry about. And the Rama thinks that lichachila were machmir on Recha Milsa in the Isser V'Heter context. So you'll see the Gemara on Ayin Dalid, so some of that a little bit technical, Ayin Dalid and then Amud Aleph, Amud Beis. And then Ayin Vav are the fun Isser V'Heter topics. And that takes us to the Mishnah Ayin Vav and Beis. And then Mishnah Ayin Vav and Beis is it relates to Tumah Hutter Dechuya B'tzibur, and which situations are Karban B'tzibur Ban B'tumah, and then the necessity on Ayin Zayin and Aleph for Ritzoy Tzitz in the context of that which is Ban B'tumah, which is relevant if you assume that Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur Ban B'tumah, then you have to rely on the Ritzoy Tzitz. Maybe Yom Kippur is different, and because the Kohen doesn't wear the Tzitz on Yom Kippur. So that's the Gemara on Ayin Zayin.